attend this old-fashioned camp meeting. You know, I think we used to have a song that sang, the old camp meeting. I never was in what they really called an old camp meeting, named it that until last year, a year ago. But I do remember the old-time revivals that we used to have. I remember them. I remember one time I was evangelist helping Brother Tom Black over at Bethel Church, the other side of Sneed Crossroads. And we began our service there, I remember, one morning at 10 o'clock. Well, it just broke out, you know, and people are shouting and praising the Lord, and people coming to the altar and getting saved. Went on that way till after 12 o'clock. And it went on that way till sundown. People over there in the woods are praying, people over here, people in the church, and God is saving them. God is saving them. Well, it went on that way to sundown, and it just kept going. And, of course, we had preaching about 8 o'clock, and I recall preaching at 1 o'clock that night. It just kept going. God kept saving people. We didn't get tired. We didn't play out. And I remember sometime about 1:30, close to 2 o'clock, I went out to the house, first house, and I got me a piece of cold chicken and a cold biscuit. And I eat that. And that revival went on that night, and I lived about 2.5 miles away, and I drove a horse to buggy. And when I got home, it was a little after 4 o'clock that morning. Now, that was some of the old-fashioned revivals. And I want to tell you, all in the world is keeping us from having them today. Is if we just don't do like they did then. If we'll do that, why, the Lord will help us, and we can have them. Now, I feel mighty little today to stand here before you young preachers, you stout preachers, and all like that. But I want to tell you, God saved me one night. God saved me one night in an old-fashioned altar over at New Prospect Church, over on the hillside in Blount County. God saved me on Thursday night. On Friday night, God called me to preach. That was in 1921. God called me to preach. I knew it then, and I've known it every day since. And I know it today, and it's still true. And the Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Well, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. And I went along for a year that I didn't go to preaching. But one day, one Saturday evening, you know, we had services on Saturday evening. And we had conference. And on the fourth Saturday evening in August, the next year, 1922. You know, back then, if you would curse, if you drank whiskey, if you drank homebrew, if you went to dances, if you'd done like the world, they'd call you in, as the old saying, on the carpet. You made acknowledgement to the church, or you, they excluded you, and you was on the outside looking in. That's the way it was. The old brother deacons, that church, they got together, about 5 of them. After service that Saturday evening, they called me out under some big hickory trees that are still there. I've drove my horse to the buggy up there many times, tied him to them trees. He said, Brother Plunkett, we're going to talk with you. I thought, well, Lord, have mercy, what have I done? I knew I hadn't been talking ugly. I hadn't mistreated nobody. I hadn't been drinking no homebrew, no whiskey, or anything like that. One of the old deacons said, Brother Plunkett, said, we know you're called to preach. We know it. They didn't ask me if I was. They just said, we know it. Well, you're talking about having a feller up a tree and they actually to rue the tree. They had me. They had me. I couldn't say no. I said, let me pray about it till tomorrow. Let me pray about it till tomorrow. I drove that horse home. I was just 17 year old at that time, saved when I was 16. I took my horse out, put the buggy up. I didn't go to the house. I went around the barn and I went to walking going south. I went at least a half a mile. My daddy's farm went to the Boyd River. I went down there. And I'm going to tell you, my brother, what I done. I went down to the potter's house. I went down to the potter's house. Down on Moore River in the woods. I got down by a big tall pine tree. I let God put me on the wheel at the potter's house. I said, oh God, make me a vessel of honor to you. Make me what you'd have me to be. Lord, if you'll go in and help me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I went back to church the next day. I told the brethren, I said, I'm ready to go. I give my appointment to preach. Oh, the devil had told me that you're just a boy. 17-year-old, not just a boy of 16 when he was called to preach. The devil said, you're just a boy. You're just a kid of a boy. If you go to preaching, you'll lose all of your young friends. All the old folks, they'll say, why, you're just a boy. Why, he won't preach. We didn't fool with him. But I won't tell you. The Bible tells us the devil is a liar from the beginning. And he soon proved, God soon proved to me that he was a liar. I preached that day, and I will forget it. There was a lady, she came up to me. She's a widow woman. She had some grown children at home. Brother Gene Allison's wife's mother. She said, B, will you come down to my house next Sunday night and preach? I said, yes, I will. Went down there. House was full. The yard was full. Young folks, old folks and all, they were there. And we had service. Whenever that service was over that night, there was another lady lived on down further toward Royal. Sister Dunn, she was a widow woman. They had to go about 2 or 3 miles, drive a wagon to get to church. They wanted preaching in their home. She said, B, will you come down to my house next Sunday night and preach? I said, yes, I will. I went down there. And then like it was over at the other place, young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, well, that service was over. Uncle Gus and Arsh, his wife, they were there. He said, B, will you come over to my house next Sunday night and preach? I said, yes, I will. Went over there and preached. Well, we're getting down close to Royal Church. Members of the church there had quarter time church services, you know. They said, will you come over to our church and preach? I said, yes, I will. I felt like that when having a door opened that I ought to go in at it for the Lord. And I did. And I've tried to do that by the help of the Lord. I want to tell you, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. That's been 73 years ago. But I want to tell you, God's still the same God that He ever was. He's still the same God that He ever was. God, give me a good Christian companion. Thank God, hallelujah. Never made it if it hadn't been for her, the Lord. We lived together 65 years, 5 months, and 4 days. God called her home. Had a lot of people last night talking about that. They'd say, that's a long time to live with one woman. I said, it's not long enough. It wasn't long enough for me. But the good Lord said it was. He called her home. I've thought about it lots. I prayed, oh God, don't let her completely lose her mind. Let me keep her and take care of her. I pray to, oh God, let her get well. Yeah. Well, one day she did. Yeah. She'll never be sick no more. She'll never be sick no more. I thought about it like this. Well, Lord, You answered my prayer. You know, the Bible said that as high as the heavens is above the earth, so is my ways. High as the heaven is above the earth, so is my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. I said, yes, Lord, You healed her. She'll never be sick again. She'll never be sick anymore. I want to tell you, my brother, I have found out that God can answer our prayers, but yet it's different to what we thought it was, but yet it's real. It's real. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, oh, I could go on. I'm going to tell you something. I could stand here and do this for you if the Lord helped me to stand up till in the morning, giving you experiences that I've had with the good Lord. What the Lord has done. What the Lord has done. I'm going to tell you. If we will just let the Holy Spirit have its way, we don't know what God can do and what God will do if we'll just let the Lord have His way. I want to tell you something. You preachers have done a good job preaching. I heard some of you last year. I've heard some this day. And I'm going to tell you, being about old Brother Wallace Higginbotham. Now, brethren, he preached a doctrinal message. Now, he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. I thought about while he was preaching before he got through. I preached about 30 years ago at the New Home Church. And this was my text. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. I want to tell you, he told us something about what a Savior was. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go. But he said, I'll pray the Father that he'll send you another comforter, which was the Holy Spirit that shall lead you and shall guide you in the ways of all truth. Ways of all truth. And I want to tell you, that Holy Spirit today is working in our lives if we'll let it, as same as Jesus worked in the lives of the people while he was living. And it's just as real. Just as real. It said in this book, in Timothy, the Spirit speaketh expressively. The Holy Spirit will express to you and me what he wants us to do, when he wants us to do it, and where he wants us to do it. And the way to find out is to obey the Spirit, and it will prove out all right. It'll prove out all right. Said, try the spirits. Try the spirits. See whether they be of God or not. I want to tell you this experience. I may have told it before to you. I remember up at Oakwell Church, where Brother Cletus was raised. I remember up there in revival. We had built a new church, brick church. Oh, back then that was nice and good. Wonderful. But there was an elderly lady. Whenever we came out of the old building, they announced, we'll not have any more services. Tear it down next week. We're going over in the new one. Going to have our services and our revivals. This elderly lady come up to me on the outside, said, Brother Plunkett, said, I'm awfully afraid. We'll never have the revivals over there in that new church that we had back over here. I dropped my head. I said, Grandma, I said, God's the same God. He's still on the throne. I said, this Bible, the same Bible that it's always been. I said, this church is the same church over there as it has been over here. I said, I'm the same preacher. I said, I believe that God will bless us over there, and I know He will if we'll obey Him. And He did. We had our revival over there. I've got a record of that at home. When they had their 100th anniversary of the church, I was up there. They sent me the writing all about that revival. Oh, we had a wonderful revival. God saved. They joined the church. We went over north from there. Had her baptizing that Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I went down the creek and changed clothes, came back, got back up there. There was a man, his wife, and a daughter there. She was crying. And they said, Brother Plunkett, our daughter's lost. She wants to be saved. And we prayed with her, and God saved her right there on the creek bank. Just us. We went back to church. Well, you know, ordinarily, I'm sure you all do when you have baptizing. That day we baptized 11, had them lined up. We'd give them, have a song, give them the right hand of church fellowship. Word, leaning them. Encouraging them, welcoming into the church. But listen, Now that was our practice. But the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit said to me, said, give an opportunity for members. I thought, uh-oh, that's different. But just come back again. That Holy Spirit, Timothy, Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressively. The Spirit spoke expressively and expressed to me to give an opportunity for members. And I did. I know some of them thought I had it in reverse, going backwards. But they were five coming, join the church right then. Right then. Well, I thought at that time, we'd give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, welcome them in the church. But that Spirit come again, said, give an altar call, make an altar call. And I did. I'm telling you what the Lord done. I'm telling you what the Spirit done. I'm bringing on the Spirit of God. All we need to do is get out of the way and let the Spirit have its way. That's all I was doing. Give an altar call. There were six grown young men. Men and women came. God saved them. That Holy Spirit said again, give an opportunity for members. I did. I obeyed the Spirit. They came forward, joined the church by an experience of grace. Baptism. It was 12 o'clock, time to dismiss. Hadn't had preaching. But we obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. Done what He wanted us to do. Went back that evening and baptized 11 more. That made 22. I'm saying that to say this. Regardless of what we've been doing or what we haven't been doing, whenever the Holy Spirit speaks to us, whatever it says to do, if you'll do it, God will bless the effort. God will take care of the rest. God will do it. I know it's so. Well, thank the Lord. All right. I've got some scripture on my mind. Been on my mind for several days. I've been praying about it. I'm going to tell you, Brother Cletus, I knew you were going to pin that on me. I knew it. I tried to come prepared. Like I told the brethren over there before preaching my first sermon, I tried to come ready. I tried to do that. So I'm here. I want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture that you'll find over in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Some of you already know what that I'm going to read. I believe I'll start at the 13th verse, and I'll read probably down to about the 16th. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity. I want us to get that. Fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Amen. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's the thought that I wanted to think about for a little while. In my imagination, I can just see Joshua, all of them talking and reminiscing, talking about what the God had done and what God hadn't done and what God would do, and talking about the people that had been serving these gods before the flood. They kept reminiscing, talking about it, no doubt, for a good long while. Finally, after a while, I see old Joshua in my imagination. He just stood up, said, all right now, whether or not you serve God or not, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you. Now, that'd been the man of the house, wasn't it? That'd been the right time to the man of the house. That wasn't being walking stiff-legged. That wasn't being throwing your head up and your chest out, saying, I'm the old man and I'm the boss. It wasn't doing that. But it's just simply filling the shoes and the stand and the place of a father and a real Christian gentleman. And he stood up and said, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Determination. Determination. He is determined, regardless of what went and come, he is determined that he stand up for the Lord. He is determined to serve the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving one another. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thank God. Determined. He was determined to do it, wasn't he? I want to tell you, he made the right decision. He made a good decision. He decided to do the right thing, and he did. Well, you know, church people, lady, well, preachers, when it comes to the service of the Lord, and even in a revival meeting, we can be determined that we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what He says do.